you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair.
Everyone loves you. Reading from Exodus chapter 17, verse 1. The whole Israelite community set out from the desert of Sin, traveling from place to place as the Lord commanded. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Monday, February 24th, 2025. As has been the case for some months, we're continuing our study through the book of Exodus, being taught by Pastor Jason Epperson of CU Church. And today we'll be looking at Exodus chapter 17, verse 1 through 7. Here's Pastor Jason Epperson.
So today as we look at this passage, it's always cool for me to see how God does what he does. But in Exodus 17, verses 1 through 7, I don't know if I could have picked a passage that would have fit better with baby dedication. Because in some ways, the question that maybe if this is your first time here, or you came to support someone, whether it's the baby dedication, or it's a moment Giselle dedicates her life publicly to a group of people that she loves Jesus, but it's this moment of dedication. And I guess the question that you maybe you're asking if you don't have an answer to it is, why dedicate your child? Like, why? And really, that lends me to a question, even ask the parents that are doing it, or even us in this room who are here, is it's not even about why dedication, it's what is the purpose of raising children? And even beyond that is, what is the purpose of waking up every single day? In order to discover that, if you look throughout the whole of the Bible, God gives us that answer very clearly. Because see, when God created the heavens and the earth, it was good. It was perfect. Like, you walked on earth with God, and when you looked in a body of water and you saw yourself, you had no insecurity, imagine. You had no fears. You had no doubts. There was no brokenness within this thing called marriage. It was perfect. It was good. But when sin came in, God made a plan to do what? To restore us back to our rightful relationship. See, God made a plan, and then over the last, like, 4 or 5 months, we've been talking about the book of Exodus, and you have, in Genesis, you understand he created it, and in Exodus, we discover what? Who God is. Literally, the book of Exodus, the story of Moses, the story of everything on the left side of your Bible, is God declaring to himself, this is who I am as a good father and creator. And then in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you have, this is who I am as the savior of the world. And then in the book of Acts and the rest of the Bible on the right side is, this is how the Holy Spirit walks and was with you and has power in this world. This whole book, y'all, this whole book, the whole thing could be summed up in one word, redemption. It's about bringing us back to our original relationship with God. In some ways, what your purpose is as a parent and what my purpose is as a parent is this, to help my children be who they were created to be. And who that is a child of God. Who that is loving God and loving people. How do we also know this is true? When Jesus came to this earth, like, let's just talk about the book of Exodus. This is background on Exodus. I do this every week. And the background on Exodus is you have a group of people who were enslaved. It's God's kids. They're enslaved by a group of Egyptians that are enslaving them. But hear me say, the Egyptians were God's kids too. They just didn't know it. And so they had a slaver's mentality. We've talked about that almost every single week. The slaver's mentality is to objectify people for their own benefit. All of us in this room at times have a slaver mentality. The spirit in which we walk and we want to objectify people to get what we want. It's called manipulation. It's called deceit. It's called lying. It's called using someone for your benefit. And you rationalize it and I rationalize it. But that's how a slaver is. And then you have the mentality of a slave, which was God's, like, the nation of Israel. And their mentality is they find their identity in what they do. Sound familiar? Because when you're objectified, you think that you are an object versus you're a child of the Most High God. And as we look in this picture, what happens? Well, Moses comes on the scene and God shows himself in the 10 signs of the 10 plagues. And this whole thing, the purpose of the plagues was not to punish people. It was to show all the people of the world that these false gods weren't real and weren't as powerful as him. And then you fast forward, and then you have the moment of the Passover when the death angel comes over the top and they take blood over the doorstep and the blood of a lamb over a doorstep. And in that moment, the Passover, they escape death. They're set free from death. And then the next morning, what happens? They're set free from what? Slavery. Just like your Passover moment and my Passover moment, when we escape death by saying, God, I need you in my life. Jesus, you are my Lord and Savior. You escape death. Heaven is what's in front of you, and you escape the bondage of sin and you walk away. But in the song we sang today, it's not just about that moment, right? Because then you can spend the rest of your life tending a grave, or you can spend the rest of your life walking in power. Because what we see next is this journey that God continues to show himself. He shows him by a cloud by day and a fire by night. He shows himself with water becoming pure. He shows himself with bread that was manna. He shows himself in this passage of water out of a rock. Do you guys know, like, when Jesus came on the scene, some of you probably forget this, but in the book of John, there was like 4 or 5 straight weeks in the book of John that Jesus declared he was the Messiah. And this is how he did it. He's at the festival of bread. And when he's at the festival of bread, a room full of people just like this were celebrating the fact that God provided for them in the wilderness. And what they're shouting out at the top of their lungs is, we need the bread of life. Basically saying, we need the Messiah. We need the Messiah. We need manna to come down because we want to know you even more, God. And finally, Jesus like raises up out of his seat and is like, I'm the bread of life, y'all. If you're hungry, it's me. And then the next day they're having a festival and it's a festival of water and they're pouring water over pitchers and water's running everywhere. And they're remembering the moment we're going to talk about today when water came out of a rock. And when water came out of a rock, what are they screaming? Man, we're being oppressed by a Roman Empire. We're enslaved by a Roman Empire. And this is what they're crying out. We need the Messiah. We need living water. We need water to come again. We need delivered. And Jesus rises up and he's like, yo, I'm the living water. And I know you're thirsty. Drink up. I got you. And then they scream out the next day and they light all these lamps. And when they light these lamps, they're celebrating the moment that there was a cloud and a fire that led them by day and by night. They're saying, we need the light of God. We need the light of God. We need the light of God. And what does Jesus do? He rises up and says, y'all, I'm the light of the world. Hey, family, don't miss it. What your children need in this world is him. What we need in this room is him. Adults, let's have a real intimate conversation right now. All of us, if we're honest, know that just giving our kids something a little bit better than we had will lead them to a place of emptiness just like we've felt. They can win games. They can be real smart. They can get into school. They can make money. They can have vacation homes. They can maybe have a home or a apartment or I don't know what it is that we want for our kids. I want those things too. But we don't want to raise kids to tend a grave. We want to raise kids that are fulfilled. And the way we do that is we chase it too. Today in this passage, he wants to set us free. What I mean by this is lots of you in this room have given your life to Jesus. You've surrendered it to Jesus, whether it was in confirmation when you were 12, whether it was a song in a church service, whether it was a moment in your life, whether you were baptized into water. I don't know when that moment was. It could have been a prayer at a revival. I don't know. But when that moment happened, it's like, yeah, let's do this. And then you got into it, and then you got busy with life. And Jesus, it's almost like you forgot he's going with you and leading you. And then what happens is in your life and in my life is we start to question the power of God because we're unfulfilled, we're unpurposed, and we're not finding wholeness. We feel saved. We know there's a future in heaven. It's like the idea of like Christians that just look forward to heaven. Yeah, I'm looking forward to heaven, but heaven's coming to earth right now. That's what I'm talking about, family. Is that's the sweet, sweet wine that's out there that God's offering us as a body of believers. He is offering us a life of wholeness and fulfillment and purpose, no matter what the circumstance. And I don't know about you, but I want some of that wine. I don't know about you, but I want some of that bread. I want some of that water. I want some of that light. And let's look at it today. All the congregation of the people of Israel moved on from the wilderness of sin by stages. You might think, why did they call it the wilderness of sin? What's the reason? Because the name was the wilderness of sin. Okay, there's nothing like hidden. It's called the wilderness of sin. By stages, according to the commandment of the Lord, encamped at Rephidim, but there was no water for the people to drink. So they were what? They were thirsty. The people have a real problem. Here's the lesson to learn. When you surrender your life to Jesus, it doesn't mean you surrender your life to easy. It means you surrender your life to Jesus. If the purpose of your journey and the purpose of my journey is to trust in God and to build my trust in God, it can't always be easy. There's going to be days you're thirsty. There's going to be days you're hungry. There's going to be days you win. There's going to be days you lose. There's going to be days when people abandon you, betray you, and hurt you, and say awful things about you. How do I know that? Because it's happened to me, because it happened to Jesus. There's going to be days that you're sick. There's going to be days that you're healthy. There's going to be days, but the purpose of all those days is to what? To learn to trust in Jesus, to eat of that bread, to drink of that water, to drink of that wine, to soak him in. The purpose of your life as parents is not to protect your kids from harm all the time. The purpose of you as parents is to teach your kids to trust Jesus. So God's leading equals trust. God's leading doesn't equal easy. And I guess the question I ask is, do we trust him? Do you guys know the reason why most people lose their faith? Or like, I shouldn't say lose, question their faith. Why do people question their faith? Because they had the wrong expectation of God. They thought when I said yes to Jesus, it would just be easy. But that's not what he promises. It goes on and says this in verses 2-3. Therefore, the people quarreled with Moses and said, give us water to drink. And so who do they go to for the water? I need to point that out. Who do they go to for the water? Not God. They go to Moses. That's a problem, y'all. Who do we go to? Who's your first phone call? Text message. And Moses said to them, why do you quarrel with me? Why do you test the Lord? Like, why aren't you asking the Lord about this? But the people thirsted there for water, and the people grumbled against Moses and said, why do you bring us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our livestock and our thirst? This is what they're saying. We're thirsty. Hear me say this. That's a real problem. Not having water, kind of a big deal. So let's not make fun of them. It's a real problem. The problem's not that they have a problem. The problem is, where do they go for the answer? And then after they go for the answer, their comment to Moses is, we would rather go back and be what? Slaves. We would rather go back and have someone objectify us. We would rather go back and have someone use us. We would rather go back and have someone treat us poorly, because at least we know we belong to something, even if that something is death. Do I need to say that again, or can we just all nod our heads? I'm going to read it again. When the people thirsted there for water, their people grumbled against Moses and said, why do you bring us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our livestock? Hey, family, it's all of us in this room. It's when we turn back to a relationship that's abusive. Why do we do that? This is why. When our circumstances are bad enough, it changes our perspective of what is true. When the circumstances around us are so hard, it clouds the reality of what is true in front of us. When the circumstances, like, you've done the same thing 1,000 times in a positive way, and a couple things are added, and all of a sudden you think you can't do it. And a person who's abused, basically it is a slave to a slaver who chooses to go back into a relationship of slavery. Sometimes that's a person, sometimes that's a substance, sometimes that's a job. But the truth is, all of us in this room know that there's things in this world that slow us down from loving God and loving people. There's things in this world that slow us down from building trust with God. Because when you turn to something else other than God, you don't build trust in God. You just find brokenness. I want to show you a video. It's kind of a funny video, but I'm going to set it up. And this video was taken 11 years ago. It was my son, Abe. He's not going to be in church today, so he's sick, so I'm using it. But in this video, what you have is my son, Abe, just to give you a little bit of background, he is super wicked smart. Like, he is a smart kid, but he's also a cautious kid. Like, his whole life, when he was 2 years old, when Bo was 2 years old, as soon as Bo could walk, he was jumping into the pool with no one else in the pool and drowning. Abe walked up and thought, I might not be able to swim. I'm just going to stand here and wait for someone to catch me. That's the difference in Abe and Bo's personality. Bo's a kid that just runs into things and realizes that was hard. I shouldn't have done that. And Abe's like, is there a door? Like, Abe is that kid. He's super smart. He's super cautious. He was the kid that every single year from 2, 3, 4, 5, I had to like re-jump him into the water and remind him he could swim. This is when Abe is 7 years old, and at 7 years old, we are in Arkansas on vacation, and there's a cliff in Arkansas that's kind of like the initiation. It's about 60 feet in the air, and you jump off this cliff and you land into the water. I thought there was no way in Hades, I'm going to say Hades because I won't offend someone, there's no way in Hades that this kid would jump off this cliff. This kid had never jumped off a diving board before. But this kid climbed up the face of this cliff, and I want you to see right here what's happening. But I want you to hear my words in it, because there had been hundreds of times I had been in a pool, and he was a foot off the ground, and I would say, I got you, son. Let's see it. Okay.
Yeah, Abe.
Okay, you can stop it now. You don't need to see my handsome body swimming towards him. We don't want no close-ups. I don't want to cause any ladies to stumble today. Let's just be honest. I need to point this out because these are fun things that probably most of us in this room have experienced, right? We've experienced moments when our kids do something that we're excited to see them do that we maybe didn't expect them to do. The circumstances of that moment is it's windy. You can hear it. The circumstance of that moment is he is 60 feet in the air away from me and I'm in the water. And my words were, just jump, you'll be okay. Just jump, you can trust me. Just jump, jump to me. But the circumstances are he almost falls down on the cliff. But the other circumstance is he had a sister, an older sister, not biological, but like a sister of God, standing there encouraging him, videoing it. The circumstances are, could something have went wrong? Absolutely. Could he have landed in a direction that would have put him out the rest of the day and he couldn't tube and couldn't ski? Yes. Why did he jump? Because he trusted his father. Do you trust him? Family-like. It's the little things in life. If you turn to him for the little things in life, it builds your trust. So that way, when you come up to the 60-foot cliff, you know you're going to be okay. It goes on and says this. So Moses cried to the Lord, what shall I do with these people? They're almost ready to stone me. Moses is like, Lord, I need your help. See, Moses is confronted with thirst. Moses is confronted with people hating him and mad at him and wanting to go back into slavery. But where does Moses turn? He turns to the Lord. And because of that, what's the Lord do? This is what the Lord does. And the Lord said to Moses, pass on before the people, taking with you some of the elders of Israel and taking your hands. Do you know why we do the one for one? Because, man, our prayer is that they cried out one night, Lord, what am I going to do? And the next day, someone shows up with a check and says, here you go. It's when you're hurting and I'm hurting and someone helps you pay for a sump pump or fix a car. Or you cry out and all of a sudden, it happens. I think so many times, God's waiting for us to cry out so that he can build our trust and faith in him. And the Lord said, Moses, pass them before the people, taking with you some of the elders of Israel, and take your hand, the staff in which you struck the Nile, and go. So take your staff and take the leaders. It says this, behold, I will stand before you there on the rock of Horeb, and you shall strike the rock, and water shall come out of it, and the people will drink. I promise you, Moses is thinking, you want me to strike the rock? How about the dirt? Because the dirt, there might be water that comes to you with me, like a spring, a rock. But he doesn't question it. Moses gathers the leaders around him. Why does God want all the leaders to see it? Because God doesn't want to just build Moses' faith. He wants to build all of our faith. Why did everyone experience the plagues or the signs of God? Because he wanted to build everyone's faith. Why did everyone experience the Red Sea? Everyone's faith. Why does God continually wait for us to ask, Lord, I need your help with this before he helps us? Because the priority of this journey, remember the purpose of dedication is to build your trust in God. Because you're going to come to a cliff, y'all. There's moments in this world that are hard. You remember a couple weeks ago, Moses' song? I know we're going to go into battle. I know what's in front of us. I know death is in front of us. I know battles are in front of us. It's like us in this room, we declared that day. I know cancer is in front of us for most of us. I know heartache is in front of us. I know abandonment's in front of us. I know death's in front of us. I know pain's in front of us. I know abandonment's in front of us. But hear me say, all of it trembles at the feet of a mighty God. Because if we trust in him, we're going to be okay. Shall strike the rock, and the water shall come from it, and the people will drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel, when he called the name of the place Massah and Meribim, because of the quarreling of the people of Israel, and because they tested the Lord by saying, is the Lord among us or not? He brought water out of a rock. You fast forward. Jesus on this earth, a Roman emperor, and Roman soldiers oppressing a Jewish people. It's like they're enslaved, they're oppressed, they can't do anything, and they're crying out in the temple, we need water, we need water, we need water. And they're not talking physical water, they need the Messiah. And what is Jesus' answer? I am the living what? Water. So the question for us today, as you raise kids, the question today in your singleness, the question today when you're dating and dating relationships, the question for us today as workers, as coaches, as doctors, as carpenters, as plumbers, as people hurting in this world, whatever we are doing, the question is, who do you trust and what do you drink from? Today might not be the moment you're standing on the cliff, but it's coming. Today might be the moment you're on the side of the pool and you just need to say, Lord, thank you for this meal. The recognition of where your abilities, the recognition of where your resources, the recognition of who the living water is the beginning of the journey. That's what it means when Pentecost happens and the Spirit of the Lord came down on the people. Listen to me. If you've given your life to Christ, you are freed from death and freed from sin. This journey with the Spirit of God and this journey with the Word of God is the freedom from self. That's what we're on. We're on this journey of freedom of self. You don't want to raise kids that all they do is think about themselves, right? When we see it, it's like, oh my gosh. And so what do? We pray and we discipline. What's the Lord do? Praise God he does, right? Because freedom's in front of us. Freedom's all around us. What do we drink from? On your seats, you got this piece of paper. You don't need to pull it out. You need to read. You can read it later. This is why we do what we do. This is why. This is why last year we gave away over $2 million to people in this community and around the world. This is why. Hear me say this. This is why. Because they need living water. Because without Jesus, they go to bed every night without hope. Without Jesus, they wake up in the morning angry and they go to bed at night with no purpose. We've been there. The reason why we put money in that black offering bin every single week is so that the world will know who he is. And here's the beauty of it is, it teaches me the discipline and it teaches me that in my giving and in my generosity, I'm learning to trust God because I'm giving something away that I could use on myself. We don't talk about giving very much. I'm not going to give you a sermon on it. But the easiest thing in the world is stepping to the edge of the pool and trusting Jesus with your finances. That ain't the cliff, y'all. That's you in swimmers standing on the edge of the pool and him saying, I got you, Jace. But you know what the beauty of it is? Now when hardship comes, when financial stuff comes, I'm ready to jump off a cliff. Because he is trustworthy. He brought 10 signs. They put blood over a door and he passed over them. He parted a Red Sea. He led them with a fire and a cloud. He took water out of a rock. He gave them bread in the morning. Throughout history, we've seen God do incredible things. But because we have short-term memory loss called short-term faith, we don't trust him. Hey, family, who do we trust? Because who we trust is who we turn to. Who we trust is who we look for. And if you'll trust in Jesus, and you're continually to walk with him, all things are possible.
Listening friend, all things are possible with God. It reminds me of Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he'll make your path straight. He loves you. He cares for you. He designed you and he has plans and purposes to work in and through you. You were hearing a message by Pastor Jason Epperson of the CU Church. And if you missed a portion of today's broadcast or you want to listen to it again, stop by greatnewsradio.org and wluj.org and listen under the Mark and Friends tab. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you and have a great day and night.